Welcome to Jazz Fest 35, chronicles of the 35-year history of the Syracuse Jazz Fest. I'm Joe Lee, along with Jazz Fest director Frank Malfitano, and on this final episode, we look forward to Jazz Fest 35, June 8 through 10, on the campus of OCC, and we provide some final reflections on this formative Central New York festival. Let's start by talking about the lineup. Friday's headliner is the Mavericks.
There is nothing that anyone can say to me.
They're an amazing live band. That's all I can tell you. I mean, a lot of people, including Rolling Stone magazine, consider them the best live band on the planet. They're like the Rolling Stones. I mean, for want of a better comparison, when you see the Mavericks, they're electric. They're great. They're Americana. They touch on a lot of different styles, Tex-Mex, Tejano. You know, I mean, they're incredible. You know, from Miami by way of Cuba, they got the greatest lead vocalist in the world, Raul Malo. I mean, the guy's amazing. So they stole the show at last year's Jazz Fest, and it was inevitable. We were just hoping they'd come back, and they wanted to, and so it happened.
Saturday's headliner is Todd Rundgren. I bet that one surprised some folks.
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people are pleasantly surprised. I'm getting really good feedback on that announcement that we made a short while ago. And you know, Todd's a genius with another hit factory. So he's got that pop sensibility, but also jazzy. I mean, all the things he's done from the Nas and Utopia and Runt and all the other bands and incarnations he's had. He's really an adventuresome artist like a David Bowie. You know, he's really kind of unique and singular. But those hits, you know, Why Can't We Be Friends, and or Can We Still Be Friends, or whatever it is, and Hello, It's Me, and We Got to Get You a Woman. I mean, those are sing-along classics. And this is a kind of classic rock town anyway, so I think we're going to get a great turnout for Todd.
What do we need to know about Asleep at the Wheel?
Oh, my God. Well, there was a guy many years ago, by the name of Bob Wills, and he had a group called the Texas Playboys, and they developed a style of music called Western Swing. And it is really jazz. It is hardcore jazz with a country hat on.
The big band?
It is a big band. It is a 10-piece band with a very full sound, two fiddlers, an amazing vocalist in Ray Benson. Nothing but swing. Nothing but Western swing, you know. Great stuff. Great stuff. You're going to love it.
What do we need to know about Mark Broussard?
Wow. Mark Broussard, Bio Soul. He's done a couple of albums called Save Our Soul, where he recreates all the magical stuff by Wilson Pickett and Otis Redding and Aretha and whatever. I don't want to define things in terms of race, Joe, but this is a great white soul singer. He's a blue-eyed soul singer. I mean, this kid he's got some deep, deep Bayou Soul from Lafayette, Louisiana. He brings it, and it's really great.
When something's going wrong, someone's on the phone, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, talking about how she can make it right.
And who doesn't love Ramsey Lewis?
Ramsey Lewis, what can you say? One of the most iconic jazz legends of all time, triple Grammy winner, NEA Jazz Master, my friend, Chicago guy, with Henry Johnson on guitar, doing the electric quintet, going to do a lot of the stuff that they did with Maurice White on the Sun Goddess album, all the Earth, Wind, and Fire stuff. He'll be playing some Stevie Wonder. He'll be playing some stylistics. I mean, Ramsey is that guy who has redefined jazz standards in a soul pop context.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments was when he appeared at the series you were doing at OCC.
Oh, yeah.
Very intimate. Just a great way to see someone like Ramsey Lewis.
You know, the jazz series was a way to bring in some real jazz, and that was the intent of the Legends of Jazz series. We did that for 5 seasons, and we brought in Pat Metheny, Bela Fleck, Ramsey, Ron Carter, James Carter into this great small space. And a lot of people said, Frank, you got to bring some of these artists back to Jazz Fest, and we want them at Jazz Fest. So, you know, Ramsey was the first guy that came to mind, and here he is, and wow, am I excited.
And the familiar funky horns of the Rebirth Brass Band return to Syracuse. They are a bit of a Jazz Fest favorite at this point.
They have played the festival before in Clinton Square, and they also played the Legends of Jazz series. And I'll tell you, these guys are great. It's like the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, but it's a younger group of people from New Orleans. It's a great sound, and this is the only group to ever win a Grammy, the only brass band in New Orleans to ever win a Grammy.
Outstanding. There's a number of special events and exhibits to mark the 35th anniversary. Tell us about some of those.
Yeah, we're partnering with the Syracuse International Film Festival. They're going to show 3 films, the first one on Thursday at 4 o'clock. They're all going to be at 4 o'clock. They're all free. Thursday, it's Miles Ahead, and Friday, it's Miss Sharon Jones by Academy Award-winning director Barbara Koppel. Benny Goodman's story, man, unbelievable, with Lionel Hampton and Teddy Wilson and Gene Krupa and Ziggy Elman and a lot of jazz greats from the Basie Band and the Ellington Band in that film.
I'll put a personal plug in. That Sharon Jones film is just phenomenal. It really is good stuff.
You know, she won 2 Academy Awards, one for Harlan County, USA, Barbara Koppel, and the other one for the Dixie Chicks documentary, Shut Up and Sing. This one, I think, is the best thing she's ever done, and Sharon is just somebody who needs to be appreciated by a wider audience. Tragically, she died before we could get her to Jazz Fest. She was on our radar. We wanted to bring her in. This is the best we could do. But we found out one of her family members is coming for a Q&A after the film, so I'm excited about that.
She's one of these artists, when you hear her, you do have to ask yourself, how do more people not know about her?
Well, you need exposure. I think she became that great live performer, you know, and that's what's happening with the Mavericks. I think the more people that see them, they go, oh my God, where have these people been hiding for the last 20 years? You know what I mean? You really need to come to Jazz Fest every year because it's not the same every year. And every year we lose some of these artists. This year we lost Mose Allison and Victor Bailey and Al Jarreau. Yeah, and Pete Fountain. I mean, they're gone. They're gone. So you got to come and see him at Jazz Fest. See him live.
And we're going to see him live at OCC. But there was some talk early on that the county wanted the festival moved to the new amphitheater. How accurate were those reports? And was it close to being a reality?
No, I think there were conversations that took place, but we were under contract to OCC, and we were under contract with all of our food vendors and all of our other suppliers and contracts and vendors, and all of that would have had to have changed if we moved to the amphitheater. And given that there was some venue shock when we moved from Clinton Square to OCC, and then when we moved from OCC to Jamesville, I didn't want to make another move. You know, we moved back to OCC, we moved out to Jamesville. We moved back to OCC again. I didn't want to move for a fifth time within a 4-year period or something like that. And I just thought we should keep the continuity going. I think it was important that we stay where we could serve the community we were designed to serve. And I wasn't sure about the amphitheater. I thought a lot of things were swirling around the amphitheater. I think it wasn't a proven festival venue yet. It wasn't at that time a proven concert venue. We didn't want to make the quantum leap in the first year, you know? So basically, I think we had a disagreement with the county over that, but it was a civilized discussion. I mean, it wound up surfacing on social media and making its way into the media, but we smoothed it out and worked it out, and we're staying at OCC, and we still have the county's full support. Now, what happens in the future is anybody's guess.
Right.
You know, they may decide to press the case for a move down the road, and then we'll have to address that when the time comes.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because here's an existential question for you. How long will you continue to produce Jazz Fest, and what will happen to the festival when you decide to retire? Do you have a succession plan?
You know, look, yes.
Founding director, it's your baby.
It is. Here's the deal. You just want it to be great. If there were assurances that it would continue to be funded and be great, and someone would give it the same passion and energy and with the same skill set, you know what I mean? It's very difficult to walk away from something and watch it diminish after you walk away, after you've given it your life. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, if it becomes so important to the community, they want it to continue, then the stakeholders need to find a way to fund it. Because when you're the fundraiser and you're the political operative and you're the media operative and you're wearing all these hats out of necessity because you can't staff up and ramp up that way, you need somebody who's going to be willing to work for nothing, take the political heat, fight the battles, raise the money, and do it year after year after year after year. I don't know many people who make that commitment. We see a lot of arts administrators at various cultural organizations in town who come and go, yeah. Whether it's stage, opera, Everson, whatever. They come and go. They don't stick. You know, I've stuck for 35 years, even when I was working out of town. So I don't know, you know, as, in terms of a succession plan, we don't have a staff, we don't have a building, we don't have a lot of money, we're not sitting on top of an endowment, we don't have anything to offer anybody. So what are we going to offer somebody from the outside? Come on in and work for free and kill yourself and put up with all the nonsense? Only a local would do that, or only a madman. I'm probably one of both. But I don't know what's going to happen. It, you know, I would say, for me to continue, but I don't want it to sound ultimative, for me to continue, we would need unconditional funding support for like the next 5 years, so we didn't have to think about that. So it could just be a given. And it can't be sustainable on its own. I'm not going to charge admission. We're not going to charge admission. We're going to keep this a free admission festival, which means a certain amount of underwriting is always going to have to be there to pick up the cost. Mm-hmm. Okay? If that underwriting isn't there, we're over. If the underwriting is there, we continue.
It's been great talking Jazz Fest 35 with you. I want to end things with a lightning round of questions. I'm going to ask you some questions. Give me the first thing that pops into your head. Rules are you can't push anything. Do not push, and do not BS me either. Not a lot of tough stuff in here. You ready? You want to play?
I'm ready.
Most surprising act.
Dr. Dorothy Donegan.
Biggest wow factor, Ray Charles or Aretha Franklin?
Oh, boy. Ty. I can't push. Ray.
Favorite Jazz Fest memory?
Falling in love with Kathy Rowe.
Least favorite Jazz Fest memory?
Oh, the dangerous overcrowding in the square in 2000 with Ray Charles. That got scary.
Artist you always wanted to book for Jazz Fest but were never able to get?
Amy Winehouse.
That's a good one. Good answer. You should have got her. As a music fan, your personal favorite performance?
Dave Brubeck, Father's Day with Danny Brubeck on drums.
Worst Jazz Fest ever?
The 3 days of Divas with Chaka Khan, Dionne Warwick, and Nancy Wilson. Nothing but rain. Serious weather gods striking out.
Best Jazz Fest location?
Oh, that's not fair. They're all great. They're all different. They're all great.
You're pushing.
Best. They were all the best for their respective eras.
You're pushing.
I know, but it's a hard one. Best from what standpoint? Let me ask you that question back.
What just made you feel like you were extremely successful?
What made me feel like a natural woman? Aretha. The 25th anniversary at OCC. There you go.
Biggest hassle in festival promotion and production?
Politics.
Favorite Syracuse area radio general manager?
Joe Lee, without question. My man Bleezy.
We've had a long friendship, and WAER and Jazz Fest have enjoyed a wonderful 35-year partnership. Thanks for taking time to relive the past and ponder the future with us. Jazz Fest 35 is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. I'm Joe Lee, along with Festival Director Frank Malfitano. The show is produced by Kevin Kloss, with music direction from Eric Cohen. If you missed any of the conversation, you can get caught up by accessing all of the episodes on demand at waer.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at Jazz Fest 35.
There is nothing that anyone can say to me.